Thank you, David. Good morning, church.
Morning.
Do you know, I can't get over whenever I come here how many of you there are. It's just amazing to see a building so full of people like-minded who've come to worship God. I want to start with a story first. A man moved into a retirement home. And while he was there, he met this lady. And he got to know her quite well, and he decided one day, I'm ready to make a commitment. I'm going to propose. So he said to himself, I'm going to do this evening. Anyway, the next morning he woke up and he thought, I can't remember what she said. So he thought, this is really embarrassing. So he went downstairs to the lounge. And there was a lady, and he went up to her and he said, I'm sorry, he said, I asked you to marry me last night, and I can't remember what you said. Thank goodness, she said. I said yes, but I couldn't remember who asked me. So, I'll have to take them off. I can't read with them anymore. I've just had my eyes, let me have cataracts done. So why do I tell you that story? Well, firstly, I find it funny. And I try to start every service with the same story and then try and fit a message into it. But no. But we can be very much like that in our Christian lives, can't we? We can feel that we're ready and we're going to make this commitment, but we easily forget what it is we're ready for. It's easy to forget things. I'm just going to share quickly with you the first time I became aware of Jesus. I was going to East Oldham Methodist. We'd not been going that long, really. And this lady came to me, and she said, Phil, do you sing? And I said, well, not really, no. I said, I can probably cut a bit of a tune, but I'm not really a singer. She said, come to a rehearsal with us, because we're going to sing at the Free Trade Hall with this chap called Adrian Snell. And I said, well, all right, that sounds like fun. So I went to this rehearsal, and when I got there, the conductor had stood up and he says, welcome everybody to our penultimate rehearsal. And I looked at Lisa and I said, what are you doing here? There's only one more after this, and there's all these pieces I've got to learn. But I know now that God meant me to be there, because when I went to the Free Trade Hall that night, that was my first real encounter with Jesus. I can't give you a specific moment. I can't give you a specific reason. It just happened. I just felt this overwhelming power of Christ around me. Coming home in the car, I said to the lady, and I can't remember who else was in the car, but I said to the people, I think I've become a Christian tonight. That's how I felt at that moment. I went home, went to bed. In the morning, I didn't forget like this chap. I remembered everything about the evening, everything about it. And I went to work, and I worked in a woodworking machinery, on woodwork machinery. And there was about 30 lads worked with me. And I remember going in that next day, and in the lunch break, I started telling people I've become a Christian. It wasn't the most pleasant of times for me, but I wanted to tell everybody this excitement about I've become a Christian. I think now, when I look back, I don't think I really knew what a Christian was. I didn't know what lay ahead. I didn't know where. I thought it was just about, I'm going to be a nice person. That's great, but that's what I thought it was going to be. I'm not going to gamble anymore, because we used to play cards and things. And I just thought, no, I'm not really ready. And this morning, I want to really ask that question. Are we ready? That's not a question I've come up. That's a repeated question through Scripture. Are you ready? In fact, one of the major teachings of Jesus is telling us to be ready. As we heard in the reading, thank you, Karen, for doing the reading so eloquently. Thank you. Jesus told the story of 10 virgins who were part of a wedding ceremony. And back then, marriages were really elaborate. I mean, nowadays, they're not elaborate. They're mad, aren't they? You go to a wedding now, you've got to have a passport and a fortnight off work. It's not quite what it used to be, is it? But they were quite elaborate, weren't they, then, anyway? But part of the ceremony required the bridegroom to parade through the city by night and fetch his bride from her father's house. And he'd take her to a wedding party at his parents' home. And part of that wedding procession included the virgins, the bridesmaids. Jesus explained that as these virgins were waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, 5 of them were very foolish. They had no extra oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise because they brought along their extra oil. And it was a good thing too, because the bridegroom was delayed. And by that time, people had realised that he was coming. The 5 foolish virgins were nearly out of oil for their lamps. Bottom of the line is, they didn't get in. They didn't get in. Because Jesus closes the parable with these words, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." We don't know the day or the hour. Again and again, Jesus warned us, be ready. Because you see, Jesus is coming back. Yeah, amen. Amen. We don't know when. We don't know when he's coming back, but he tells us in John, before his betrayal, before his crucifixion, and before his arrest, "I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again." Jesus is coming to take us home. Now, some of us, maybe all of us, will meet him before that. That's inevitable. But our faith and our trust in Jesus tells us that we will meet him. Peter also says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think there's a thief anywhere that makes appointments. They just come, don't they? You don't know when they come and you don't know where. So what a great example that was. Not that Jesus is going to come and steal from us. Jesus is going to come and give to us. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The scripture says it'll come with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire and the earth and everything on it will be laid bare. Tell you what, that's a bit different, isn't it, from last time he came? If the media get hold of this, can you imagine? When there's a snow cloud, it's carnage. They think it's the end of the world, don't they? But what a piece of scripture that to describe what will happen. And this isn't going to be witnessed by just a few people. This isn't going to be the shepherds, wise men. This isn't going to be that. Everybody, everyone will know when it happens. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. And when that happens, there'll be no more time to prepare. When the day comes, there'll be no time to prepare. And if you're not ready, that ship will have sailed. And there won't be another one, ever. To use another example, let's say a very wealthy person. Let's say David. We all know he's got a back pocket. Let's say that a wealthy person approaches you and says he wants to send you on a 4-week trip somewhere, a place that you choose. Somewhere you've always wanted to go. It'll be all... Is it closed? Sorry. It's all right. I'm not good with microphones. It's because I've got such a loud mouth, I don't really need one. So he'll send you on a four-week trip somewhere you've always wanted to go. All expenses paid. Would you like that? Yeah? Yeah, I'd love that. All expenses paid somewhere I wanted to go. There's only one catch. Because of the paperwork in lining up this trip, he can't tell you exactly when you'll be leaving. It's going to be in the next few months, and when he calls you, you may only have a few hours to get down to the airport and catch your flight. It's inconvenient, but you really want to go. So how are you going to prepare for this trip? Well, you might have to clear things up at the office if you're working, or at the factory, or whatever you have commitments for. Personally, I'll have to check all my hospital and doctor's appointments, because that's... You're all laughing because you all know that a lot of us are there now, aren't we? Life evolves around your appointments. You'll have to get your passport. You'll have to get your shots. You'll have to ask someone to take care of your pets if you've got anybody. Maybe watch out for your mail, etc. And you're going to have to pack a suitcase. So when are you going to start preparing for this trip? Now. You're going to have to, aren't you? You've no choice. Not later, because you don't know when you're going to leave. And if you want to get on that plane, you better prepare now. You see, if you ain't ready, you ain't going. And that's what Peter is telling us. Prepare now, because if you ain't prepared, you ain't going. So, how do we prepare, not for David's generous trip, how do we prepare for this trip that Jesus is coming? This trip to heaven. Well, you won't need a passport. You won't need any shots. You won't need anybody to look after your pets or your mail. And your suitcase isn't going to do you any good because you're not going to be able to take anything with you. Peter tells us to be ready. We need to be holy and godly. Sounds hard work, that, doesn't it? That does sound hard work, doesn't it? We all might want to be like that, but I don't think any of us can say we are all the time. But what does that mean? It means that we live for God. And how do we do that? Well, one thing is we can spend more time with him. I can't speak for anybody in this church today or any other church. It's not just for Sunday, is it? We know we need to decide that we spend more time with God. Read our Bible. Read the Bible. Pray more times. Prayer isn't... God doesn't matter where you are when you pray. God doesn't matter what time of the day it is when you pray. God knows where you are. He knows everything about you. Me and Barbara spend a lot of time on Anglesey, and Barbara lost her phone one night. We got back to the van and she'd lost her phone. And we couldn't think where it was. And I said, I wonder if you've dropped it. You dropped it on the beach or something. And then I suddenly remembered. We had an app on our phones that I put on about 2 years ago. And I tracked where Barbara's phone was. And it said, oh, it's in Ross Niger. And we went to Ross Niger looking for it. Barbara had the phone. I was driving. Barbara had the phone. And I stopped. I said, right, bring it up a bit. See if you can see. And you know, that app took us right to the door of the cafe. It was a shop and a cafe with an Andy toilet in it. Again, I'm at the right age group there, yeah? A handy toilet in it. And Barbara had left the phone in there. And the app took us straight to it. And that's what God's like. God knows exactly where we are all the time. The difference is I didn't know what Barbara's phone was doing, but God knows what you're doing. So we spend more time with him. He knows where we are. He knows whether we're with him or not. I have our minister told us about this. I have reminders on my phone, and it's set for like four times a day. It isn't going to go off today because I'm stood here. But it's set like something like 7 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 10 o'clock, around them regions. And when it goes off, this reminder, the word Jim comes up on my phone. And before you all start thinking, wow, he must be healthy. It's not G-Y-M, it's J-I-M, Jesus in me. And it's just, our minister told us about this, and it's just a really handy way of reminding myself to spend time with him. If it's just a little thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning, or thank you, Lord, for getting me through this morning, or it's just a little reminder to spend more time with him. Sorry, I've gone right back to the start again there. Well, I'll have to start again. I've got... No, I won't do that to you, I promise. Right, we're nearly there. We're nearly there. Sorry about that. Because my hands are all over the place. So, spend a little time with him. He's telling us to set ourselves apart from the world to live for God. Well, that again sounds, doesn't it? That sounds a bit, why would you set yourself apart? He's not asking you to ignore everyone else. He's not asking us to stay in a holy huddle. As a church, it's really important to meet together. You know, this is, the Bible tells us to meet with other like-minded people. It's important that we meet together because we feed each other. It's not just about somebody like me stood here. Speaking with people next to you before the service, after the service, it's important we meet together. But we also have to be present in other situations. I love your welcome cafe on a Thursday. You know, every other Thursday. Well, what a fantastic thing to have. It's amazing. And that isn't just for church members. It's for anyone that passes these doors. So it's such a welcome place. The name just says it all, doesn't it? You couldn't have picked a better title than Welcome Cafe. It's amazing. Me and Barbara come when we can, and we just love to sit and chat with people. We've met some fantastic people, like Ernie. I'd probably would have never known Ernie if it hadn't have been for Welcome Cafe. Because today you'd have been another person sat in the congregation that I didn't really know. But because of that, I know you, Ernie.
Knowing you, I'm flying without wings.
Well done, mate. Well done. Well done. He remembers where I used to work years ago. That's how we got in touch. But that's another story. That's another message, that one. And me and Barbara, we spend a lot of time on Anglesey. And we have a church over there. Well, I said we have a church. It's a church we attend. And they're just like you. They meet. They're a fantastic community. And they do so much out in the community. Dave mentioned Half Hour with Jesus. It's not a holy huddle. We have people there who have been Christians for years. We also have people who don't go to church at all. They come to us. I'm not saying we are a replacement, but they feel comfortable coming into that environment, and they hear about God, and they get chance to listen to people share and everything. It's part of being one of God's people to go out and share. It's important to be amongst non-Christians. In fact, it is crucial, really, if we're going to share our faith. However, there can be a downfall, and that is we can fall into the trap of maybe engaging in practices that are contrary to our beliefs. Don't shout at me if any of these are things that you've, mind you, some of these you're not going to admit to. But me and Barbara do not in any means celebrate Halloween. I do understand the young children now have been indoctrinated that it's just a bit of fun. And I'm not going to harp on that subject at all, but me and Barbara do not celebrate Halloween. If they come to the door knocking on the door, I just don't answer. you could call me an ogre, but that's what it is. The TV nowadays, it's all, they can't make a programme now without there being a scene where there's sex in it. There's got to be a sex scene. The soaps, everything, everything's the same now. Violence, don't get me started. Every hero on the television and in films is violent. Or is that just the films I watch? Yeah. But it's violence everywhere. And people are dragged into that because we're looking at a world. I'm not talking about the wars that's going on around us. If you look in a world, there's violence on the streets. There's so many angry people that have been indoctrinated by watching violence. The young people of today have been brought up on video games. And you know, watching stuff that's like the heroes, violent, and didn't they do well? They killed 3 people. That's what they're watching. And they've been indoctrinated. Like, again, we're back to a certain age group here. Who remembers Mary Whitehouse? I thought she was a prude at the time. But, you know, she wasn't far wrong, was she? She wasn't far thing. Yet lots of people struggle with this idea because they love the things of the world more than they love God. But that isn't a new thing. In John chapter 12, verse 42, it says, "Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue." And this is such a sad line. "For they loved human praise more than praise from God." What a sad piece of scripture. They loved the power more than they loved God. And if we live our lives according to what we think is okay, because everyone else is doing it, then we walk in the same path as the authorities in the temple. I'm not standing here saying to you that I'm a saint. I never would do that. If anybody hears me speaking anywhere, when I start talking about all the downfalls, I'm talking about myself. I'm not saying I'm a saint. The Bible tells us that claiming to be without sin is self-deception. But as a Christian, we need to try to not go along with it to please others, to be part of the crowd. If it's sinful, we shouldn't be joining in just to be one of the crowd. I don't know whether this is an age thing. This is getting very ageist, isn't it, this message? I don't know if it's an age thing, or has food got more difficult to eat? I'm not quite sure, because I seem to get more on me now than I get inside me. Barbara's laughing there because she's constantly saying, "What's that on your top? What have you spilt now?" And I'll look down and there'll be something there. Doesn't matter what I've eaten. I could have eaten a piece of toast and it's stained. I don't even have to put butter on it and I've stained my top. I'm blaming the food, me. I'm not blaming myself. But if we imagine that's sin, that sin is a stain on your best shirt or the dress, you know, the one that you maybe was going to pack that David's paying for the holiday for, we'd be more careful in the first place, wouldn't we? We'd go out of our way to remove it and make sure it kept clean in future. And that's our lives. Why risk the stains just because others are doing it? Don't be one of the crowd. Set yourself apart. Be true to God. We used to live in a Christian country, but in 2026, a survey revealed that 44% of Great Britain people identified as Christians. In 2018, it was 54%. So it's going down. Now, this isn't all doom and gloom, because some figures suggest that my generation, Gen Z, what? I don't understand why you're laughing. Yeah. Look, the Gen Z, as a younger generation, now seem to be called. They're on the increase when it comes to church membership. Church attendance has actually grown from 8% of people who call themselves Christians to 12% of people who call themselves Christians. So if you identify as a Christian, 12% of them people now go to church. And apparently Gen Z has been one of the causes of this increase. And when I look out here, I can't see proper, so I don't see loads of Gen Zs. But it's amazing to see God's house as full as this. When we look at those figures, it's easy, isn't it, to look at the 44% and think, it's less than half that. But don't be discouraged by that 44%. Be encouraged by that 12%, because that has gone up. So be encouraged by that 12%. That's a lot of people, you know. We're not just individuals. You're not going to walk out of here and not meet another Christian. Do you know, many a time we'll be out and you're talking to somebody and they say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. And it's amazing how many people out there are actually Christians and open to conversation as well. I'm just, last couple of things and then we'll finish. Don't be afraid to share your faith in case they make fun of you. Because isn't that a fear? I think it is. It's been that a fear for me in the past. We sometimes overthink a situation, don't we? If someone with a different faith tried to convince me that theirs was the true way, I wouldn't be offended. I'd be protective of my faith. I'd put my point forward. I wouldn't think, oh, all right, I'm back away. But I certainly wouldn't be offended. So people aren't offended. They'd be surprised how many people that if you go to them and say, can I pray for you? They'll say, yes, please. Lots of people that are open to prayer. It's not that they don't like God. It's not, they just have an issue with believing some things. But if you offer to pray for people, they're not going to be offended. They can only say no, can't they? And don't be afraid to share your faith in case they make fun of you. Again, that's another one, isn't it? When I went into work that first day, after I said I'd been to the concert and I was telling all the lads I'd become a Christian, I didn't half get ribbed. Really. I really got ribbed. But sometimes the world turns things around a little bit, doesn't it? Because I used to call in one of the local pubs with my brother for a pint. And my brother went in one evening, and I wasn't there. And the landlord had heard I'd started going to church. Because that was the start of my church life, all this, really. I'd gone a few times when this lady asked me, but he'd found out that I'd made a step. And he said to me, my brother, I believe you're Phil's drinking holy water now. And to which my brother replied, it's got to be better than the rubbish that you sell here. So it does, things do turn round a little bit, don't they? And definitely don't be afraid to share your faith in case you might feel left out. These aren't my words. These are some I've read. Following the crowd is easy. It requires no courage, no deep thinking, no responsibility. You just go where everyone else is going. Say what everyone else is saying and believe what seems popular in the moment. There is comfort in numbers, safety in agreement, and validation in blending in. But none of these things have been the birthplace of greatness. I wished I'd wrote the author's name down. I should have done, shouldn't I? So, do you seek the approval of the world or the approval of God? What we depend on says a lot about whether we want to be holy and godly or just want to blend in with the crowds. So I'll finish as I started with the question, are you ready? Can we pray? Jesus, we don't know when you will return, so prepare us right now. Our minds will be alert and our lives restrained and disciplined. We will arm ourselves with faith and love. By your grace, we will build a personal culture that is vigilant and filled with gratitude. Our spiritual senses will be sharp. We refuse to lie down and let life pass us by. We will take advantage of every opportunity to expand your kingdom. You have appointed us to live out your purposes. We will do it and encourage others to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening, guys. Put these back on again, though.
You know, I was just, as Phil was saying, one of the statements he made is you might miss the boat. And, you know, sometimes you end up scrolling. You know, some of you know what that means. You know, you're on your Facebook or whatever, or YouTube, and things pop up. And I thought, because it's relevant to a lot of people here, because a lot of people here cruise. You know, there's quite a few cruisers in this church. They're the ones with the money. Just Phil. I'm a camping me, so that's what I mean. They're the ones. But I've never been on a cruise ship, maybe one day. But you get beautiful cruise ships, don't you? I mean, they've got everything from what I understand and what I've seen of them. You know, you got all your meals done, all your entertainment. They're like beautiful kind of, you know, sort of cities on the water, right? There's all these kind of things. But it is quite funny when you're scrolling. And you see these people, and they've obviously booked onto these cruise ships, and the ship is setting off, and they're late, and they're running up the dock, like, and the ship is off, and it's gone. They've missed it. Maybe they've got off at one point, and they're coming back, and they've missed it, and the ship sets off. And they've obviously, you know, they should be on it, but they've missed it. And they're running panic up the dock. And you think, I wonder what happens to them. You don't see what happens to them afterwards. But they're obviously just stranded as this kind of glorious city on the water goes off without them. And, you know, God is calling us to this glorious place, this heavenly city, where we can be citizens of. But we just don't want to miss it. And, you know... when Phil was talking about it, he was talking about us getting ready as Christians and being ready and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, I thought just some people they've just not even got the ticket. They're not even, you know, and the ticket for me, if you want to put it so like that, is that sense of knowing Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Like Phil had that experience when he was in that concert hall, and that was that first sense. That's the place. That's how we get onto the boat. That's how we get into the celestial city of heaven. And so I just want to pray, because if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, if anybody here has never accepted Jesus, then the Bible says, look, by accepting Jesus, that's how you get your heart ready. Like I say, it's not about packing. It's not about saving up. It's not about getting a passport. It's about knowing Jesus in your heart. And when you know Jesus in your heart, when you accept him as your Lord and when your Saviour, then the Bible says then that's your welcome, that's you into heaven, because you've accepted the invitation of him and his forgiveness in your life. So I thought, I don't know, like I say, everybody's in different places in the church, But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never accepted him, then let today be the day. Because like we said earlier on, I don't want anyone to miss the boat. Anyone to miss the goodness of all that God has got in store for us one day in that heavenly place. So just for a moment, let's just bow our heads. Lord God, I do recognize that lots of people here have already accepted you as their Lord and Savior. They've always responded to what you've done for them on the cross. So in that respect, many of us are already in that place of getting ready for heaven. There's still things we can be doing. We still need to be busy in your work. But I just pray for anyone today who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, never accepted you, Jesus, in their lives. If there's anyone here in this place today, I pray just in this moment they will open their heart to you. Just in this moment, they'll just acknowledge that you are God. In this moment, that you'll show them that, yes, they are sinners, as we all are, but you died for their sin, and that there's an opportunity today through repentance, through sorry, of forgiveness. As they call out to you in their hearts, Lord, in that sorry, would you bring your forgiveness towards them? There may be people here that have never opened their heart to you. They've heard about you. They know about you in their minds. They've heard messages about you in church. But they don't know you. Well, today is an opportunity for them to open their hearts. I pray that you'll give them courage to just call upon the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says those who call upon his name will be saved. Would they open their hearts to let you in, as we often say, that you might dwell in them by your Holy Spirit, that they might, as Phil encountered all those years ago, that they might go from this place saying, you know what, I think I'm a Christian now, because I've opened my heart to the King of Kings, to the Saviour of the world. And in that place, Lord, that you will bring forgiveness, you will bring purpose, you will bring your hope and your joy, but you will also give them that eternal hope that says, because they know you, Jesus, Lord, whether you come back tomorrow or whether they pass away tomorrow, their eternity is secure in you. If that's you, just call upon the name of Jesus. Open your heart to him today, that you might not just know of him, that you might know him. And for those of us that do know you, Jesus, and have known you for years, Lord, as Phil reminds us, let's just remember what we're getting ready for. We are getting ready for heaven, because heaven's our eternal home. So I pray that you'll help us to be doing the things that we need to be doing, particularly building our relationship with you and sharing you with the world. Lord God, that we won't miss the ship. We won't miss the boat of all that you have for us now and all that you have for us one day in that heavenly place. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if that was you and you just think, that was me today, I just needed that, that's what I need to be reminded of, I needed Jesus in my life, then just mention it to somebody before you leave, that they can encourage you, maybe pray with you and just support you a little bit, and just, you know, keep spurring each other on in the good things that we're about with his people, aren't we? We're going to finish as we stand and sing, The Lion and the Lamb.